Welcome to B2B Podcast Stories, brought to you by GHA Marketing. Our guests today are Barbara Strain and Colleen Patterson from the Women in MedTech podcast series. In this podcast, both hosts unravel the profound journey of their podcast, navigating the complexities of the healthcare industry, particularly the MedTech sector. Today, expect to learn the podcast's role in creating awareness, fostering mentorship, and ultimately driving positive change within the healthcare industry. Discover the importance of having a team that cares about the podcast's message and mission, and explore how they overcame challenges on their podcasting journey, such as dealing with imposter syndrome, finding one's voice, and persevering in the face of setbacks. Before we begin, please remember to subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. It really helps the show, and we're going to keep bringing you amazing guests and stories about all the different ways that podcasts are going to help your business. And with that, here's Barbara and Colleen.
Barbara, Colleen, thank you so much for coming on the B2B Podcast Stories. You Honored guests have a very interesting podcast story. There is the MedTech Business Academy that you call the MBA, which I love the acronym, by the way. And you have the Women in MedTech series into that. Can you please tell me the story of your podcast?
So the story of the podcast is actually a story of evolution. Really what started was during the actual pandemic when MedTech sales, as well as how to go to market with different products, innovations, that landscape drastically changed. You know, historically, all of medical technology, pharma, biomedical has really been predicated under the auspices that I can walk into a hospital, knock on some doors, make some friends, shake some hands, and sell some product. And obviously the pandemic in the healthcare spectrum, there was none of that. And so we started actually with about a year of a webinar series. I was the producer originally behind the scenes of the MedTechSperts Presents. And for that first year, we were really talking about the changing landscape of what it meant to be in MedTech sales, how to get traction, how, you know, the changing landscape, anything that you had done even a year or two before, it was literally flipped on a dime. And from there, it went from that year of webinars into, well, let's actually try to go into shorter segments, meet people where they are. We were starting to see that webinar fatigue really become prevalent because everybody and their brother started doing webinars at the beginning of the pandemic. And then we started moving into the podcast, and we got about a year of the podcast in. And I reached out to, I am associated with the Clinician Exchange from our team. Skender Derte, who's our CEO, is actually the on-screen presence of, you know, from the webinar as well as on their podcast. And I reached out to him one day of, you know, I've had the opportunity to sit behind the scenes for about 2 years listening to what we're talking about. And I had the specific feeling for the women in MedTech aspect of that. There was not enough conversation about the dichotomy of what giving care looked like, which is historically and primarily female, to what the voice of the customer that we were talking about or talking to, which felt incredibly male or male-centric, and realizing that we really had a disparate element of that. So I go to Skender and I'm like, hey, you know, I've got this idea where I think that we would really benefit from being able to speak to the women who are behind the scenes of making healthcare what it is today, whether they are clinicians, you know, they're doing industry groups, they're putting together organizations like SANCIEL, which is the Society of Nurse Innovators, Entrepreneurs, and Leaders, or we're really getting an opportunity to talk about the women that got us to where we are right now. Historically, medical device sales has been predominantly Caucasian, predominantly male of a certain age demographic, and we're not seeing the actual representation of what the world looks like. We're shifting there, and there's been great movement in the last decade to really make what looks like on that decision-making panel, the board of directors, look more like the actual landscape of the environment, but we're not quite there yet. And it was really an opportunity to highlight a few more of those voices from a, you know, from that medical technology perspective. Skender was like, oh, I think that that's such a great idea. And I turned to some of my friends and said, oh, Barbara, you've been on the main MBA podcast for a while now. I'd love to have your perspective. We brought in some other friends that we have through industry. And really, it started from there. And we're approaching the 1 year mark of the number of episodes that we have, which is really exciting.
Yeah, when I got the call from Colleen, it was exciting because to be on the forefront of something. Colleen is correct. Now you know why I wanted her to be here, because she's the instigator, the troublemaker of our group. But we have a really great group, and we really seek out a lot of voices that are way in the background and trying to bring them to the forefront. And what they recognize out in the healthcare market is a lot different perspective from what may be seen by others, so that there's other ears listening to voices out there and then doing something about it, either formulating a brand new product, keeping people safer, better patient outcomes. But you have to have a collection of voices in the chorus.
I like that a lot. And just to tell you a bit of a personal story, I have two little sisters. One of them is a strong advocate and a feminist, let's say, of women's rights. And we have some very fiery conversations sometimes. But my interest is also to try and put myself in the shoes of women as much as possible. Obviously, cannot be achieved totally, but try and understand it. The first time we talked, Barbara, you told me about that radiology apron story. I thought it was an amazing representation of, yeah, there are actually, I think it was you in the introduction of the latest episode, Colin, who was saying it's not like there is an intention behind saying, okay, let's focus on men. It's just happening. And it's interesting to dig into getting examples, because that's, for instance, in my example, what I need to be able to see, like, oh yeah, okay, there is really something happening, something going on here that needs fixing. Barbara, can you tell us about that story, the radiology apron story?
Sure. And I didn't realize that that story was really going to pop out when I asked our guest to join us, because I know she's a CEO of a couple of companies and they acquired a company. But then she got so passionate about telling this story about one of the companies that is now under their flagship. And they basically concentrate on radiology products. And I think the landscape, as you say, in radiology has changed so much. And techs, as well as the radiologists, which are physicians, coming into there are more of a mixture of women, men, a variety of different ethnic groups, etc. And so when she was calling on hospitals or listening to them, they'd say, yeah, we just can't get these aprons to fit. Or we're pregnant, we're really worried, but we want to do our job. And so she listened and she went back to the company and said, let's start taking measurements. Let's start talking to people. Let's get all of the attributes that are not of, you know, fit or what they do for a living, and make them feel as safe as all of the rest of the techs and radiologists that are working. So they did it. And it was a great story, because the women that she talked to and others, whether you were of a short stature, I'll wave my hand there, or you were very tall or whatever, now there's something that you can feel safe about. And when you're exposed to radiation over and over again, day in and day out, that's really a great accomplishment. But it just took a listening voice that was different than the other voices out there.
What I loved about that story, Barbara, and we were talking about this before recording, is there is literal huge business benefits into this. Like, it's not just let's accommodate women, which should be the norm anyways, but it's also like, guys, there is money behind it. Like, if you manage to tailor something for literally half the population, there is money into it. So even from a business aspect, from the skeptical, there are huge upside into tailoring it for everybody than just what is considered the norm today. Another thing Colin, you want to add to that?
I was going to say, one of the most interesting things, and this is one of the statistics that we go back to, is that women worldwide make 80% of the healthcare decisions for themselves, their children, and their spouse. So when you're looking at that perspective, and when you're bringing that back to health equity should not be a financial motivator, but the reality of the situation is that capitalism is a pressing concern for many people. That, you know, there should be the aspect of good or right, but if somebody does need that capitalist perspective in order to be like, okay, I can make a business case for it, 80% of the healthcare decisions made by women, and they are historically and statistically underfunded, underrepresented. And there are so many products that we do not bring to market because of systemic failures to realize what an important cohort that is. And it doesn't make sense. Just by the numbers, it doesn't make sense.
100%. And so to bring that back to the podcast and the business aspect, because that's also what's interesting, right? That's the podcast story. And I'm understanding correctly that the mission of the podcast is exactly that, is giving a voice to a part of the population that is right now a bit underrepresented, but that could have huge business upside, but also just what should be the norm, right? Is there anything else in the mission of the podcast and what you're trying to accomplish with the MBA, but also women in medtech?
Colleen and I have signals that we now know. Like, I think she wants to talk. Well, the other thing is it's a mentoring aspect. There are so many great ideas that people are sitting back saying, oh, I could never do that. Or it's really not a good idea. But when you listen to people and their story, where they started and where they are today, but where they can go in the future, it's a big boost in mentoring. We also had a guest that has a mentoring focus to their business. And it was amazing to listen to all of the things that can be accomplished this just through someone else or a group believing in you, giving you that support, either morally, business, ideas, whatever it is. But mentoring, I believe, is one of the key factors that makes what we do on a couple month basis and things really important.
I would completely collaborate with that. One of the other themes that seems to be really prevalent, especially on the women in medtech side, is the idea of fostering a group of people around you that are really supportive. That comes from the idea of mentorship. It's not as easy for women historically to find mentors. Women are forced with the idea of, if there's only so much room at the top for diversity, and I'm doing that in quote fingers, then how do I, if I mentor you, am I at risk? You know, there's not a spot for two of us. And so that has had actually a really traditional combative approach to a lot of other women joining the table. So how do you find those people if that room at the top is so small? How do you make more space for those around you? And then for the main MedTech Business Academy, it's really, I think, about the changing landscape. Healthcare is a slow-moving machine in so many ways. The science behind that and the regulations behind that, which are all necessary, but in terms of change adoption, the resistance to that is astronomical. And making sure that as new technologies are coming out, like AI or, doing notes where the clinicians are actually going by and being able to dictate their notes to try to save time and efficiency, making sure that landscape is accessible as well as serving all of that diverse population. And really, advocating for the fact that just because it was done yesterday does not mean it should be done tomorrow. And people have to talk about the need for change.
Yeah. One of the things to dovetail off that is it's very hard for healthcare to even know what some of these new things or even old things that they've never heard of or adopted. And because things have changed so much over the last almost 4 years, I can't believe we're going to say that, you've got to look elsewhere. But where do you look? How do you find that information? What is really different out there? And how do you adopt? And there's so many healthcare systems that either try to go back to, okay, now where were we in 2019 and sort of go forward. Or there's others that are preparing or have been preparing their organizations for transformation. And that's the key word these days is, are you ready for it? Are you doing it? Are you prepping? But are you continuing? It's not a fad.
I love that. And I think you're the first ones to describe the podcast as a mentoring tool. And I love that. It's actually really, really good, like mentoring people, because lots of people we say, yeah, you need to be educational, inspirational, entertaining, but mentoring people, taking them from point A to point B, wherever that is, where they want to go, right? That's a very, very beautiful goal. Is that something that podcasts as a medium allows that others don't? And I'd like to get back to what you were explaining earlier, Colleen, the webinar fatigue. Like, is it something you have seen as a benefit of podcasting that is not the case in a webinar? Or how do you make the choice of choosing a medium to get a message as important as you through?
That's such a great question. So there is an element to me that podcasts feel a little bit more personal. They're the ears that are just in our head as we're going about our lives versus the webinar approach seems more formal. There's, that stringent topic. There's the slide deck that's moving in the background. And you don't really focus on the relationships between the different hosts as well as the guests. Fundamentally, that's what it's all about. And when you think about what is the heart of mentorship is relationships. relationships is the stories of shared experience. And by taking us a step back from the idea of I'm going to have a formalized slide deck and polls, the story gets to be so much more organic. And in that organic story, we get to talk about trials and tribulations and the challenges that people have faced. And it's in that that people can see their own feet in those shoes. I've been through that too. I've faced similar items. If they can get through it, I can as well. Perseverance is possible. And that level of mentorship, I have found that other than if you're able to do actual coffee talks like in real life with people, that podcasting really offers a great dynamic for that. That it's, you know, the way that we imagine it as we're hosting is the idea of, you know, it's not super formal. We're friends sitting around, you know, if we were having cups of coffee, you know, sharing our updates to our lives. And it's, you know, our guests are along with that on that journey with us.
Yeah, it gets you like refreshed. It's like taking short time out and saying, okay, I'm going to listen to this, or this seems interesting. You eventually get followers and various things that point in different directions, but it's like a refresh. So I was telling Guillaume when we were talking last week a little bit that in April of 2020, I went to AVAP, the National Value Analysis Association. And I said, our folks are out there sort of on their own, kind of drowning in what in the world is going on, because they were asked to do a lot of different things to get products and to vet products and to really help take care of things and sort of walk between internal and external. So I said, what if we put on a podcast, 15, 20 minutes at lunch every day, and have people be able to say, did you hear about this? What did you do about that? And sort of commiserate. And no matter what time zone you were in, it was either your coffee break or your lunch, and it allowed them to take sort of a deep breath. And that was a real boon for pieces of healthcare, just to be able to have a respite. So we went on with that for a while. Then it came 3 times a week, 2 times a week. Then it was once or twice a month. And then we, you know, changed focus and things. But I think podcasts, webinars, anytime you could connect with people, as you said, in the top of what we were talking about, is that was key. Because, you know, I was sitting where I am now, looking out my window, watching deer walk by. I was talking to them and naming them, you know, so you were internal. But having people of like mind to be able to talk and listen, and people would go, oh, I didn't think about that or whatever. But it is great moments in time to just take a respite. Not very long. I put on podcasts while I'm working, and it's amazing. I go back to my terrible habits of homework back in the day. I'd have the radio on, the TV on, typing, looking at things, reading newspapers all at the same time. But anyway.
Barbara, I want to live where you live. If by just looking through the window, I can see deer passing by, it needs to give me the address. But that's very cool. And so we like to make the link between podcast and business. I have a last question on this section about that. In the latest episode that you put out, you talk about the McKinsey Health Institute and closing the women's health gap and talking about a $1 trillion opportunity. So of course, I encourage all our listeners to give a go at Women in MedTech, for sure. Great series. But could you give us a bit your take on that article, what it says? And again, interesting to focus on the problem statement, but also the business opportunity out of it. So what's this $1 trillion opportunity when it comes to closing the women's health gap?
So that is such a dynamic part. And it goes back to the idea of health equity. Health equity is really a large part of the focus of what we're talking about this year on the Women in MedTech series. So the idea of a health gap, or that fiscal burden, has a few different facets to it. There are opportunities when it comes to sales. There's opportunities of what those individuals as workers can contribute to GDP. There is the aspect of the amount of unpaid labor that goes into the women holding it all together, whether that means that they are stay-at-home moms, or even the unpaid domestic labor that goes into taking care of your home, raising children, you know, doing the laundry. And if we're able to more level the playing field, if we're able to allow women to work, to be fiscally independent, to have opportunities, that there is a very large and very real global impact of what good healthcare can look like. 80% of autoimmune conditions are found in women. women of childbearing age, women of working age. And, you know, there's other really great statistics. Like in 2018, a Boston Consulting Group put out a survey that said that women business owners are likely to receive less than half of the funding than their male counterparts for new business ideas. And generally speaking, they do a 10% higher revenue over the first 5 years. They're getting less money and doing more with it. So if we were to think about the fact that if they could just have the same, what would those numbers look like? Where as an entire society would we be? The reality of the situation is, though, that historically women are a second thought. We're Adam's rib. We're not a person in our own right. And so even things that all the way go down to, what are crash test dummies? They're scaled down men. But men and women are not physically the same. We've got nuance of body structure, of bone density. And if we're only, and the only time that they have tested crash test dummies that are actually based on women, you know where they put them? In passenger seats. Is that the world that we live in today? It's not. And so we're leaving so many of these great opportunities on the side when it comes to medications. So much of medication testing has predominantly been done first in male lab animals and then in males. If you're not seeing enough efficacy in male lab animals, then they're not even moving them into human testing phases. But there's all sorts of medications that work differently on men and women. And so there's all sorts of medicines today that are approved for blood pressure, for anxiety, that work on men that are proven to not work on women. And we're leaving all of those women unaddressed because we are systemically not supporting them. And how much more could we achieve if those people had, if women had access to the care that they deserve?
Yeah, so to dovetail on that, McKinsey starts out with lots of data about this subject particularly. And we also linked it back to one or other books that we've read and have been commenting on, is that when research is being done to try to get either drugs, medical devices, etc. to market, then they're limiting the pools of those individuals. And so when research has to go before, you know, boards, it has to go through regulation and things, I sort of profess that we need to look further into the data and who was part of these studies. So I do a lot of, in the work that I do, I am always searching through meta-analysis and doing those geeky sort of things to really look at stuff. And so many of the research studies have to be eliminated. They might start out with 400 research and they wind up with a short stack of about 30 that actually can be evaluated. So I think that, you know, McKinsey realized that there was that business economic aspect to it, but really the crux of it is, if women were considered more or others that aren't considered in these research studies, we would have better advances to the overall health and well-being of our population. So we wouldn't be like chronic disease is today, or the last 6 months of life is today, where all of the expenses are poured into that and we do and focus on sick health, not well health.
One of the other aspects of the McKinsey report that I found fascinating, because I've personally found this to be so true, is that it does equate back that when we talk about women's health and women's health equity, we are not just talking about sexual and reproductive health. We are talking about full people with full bodies other than their childbearing parts. And there are so many diseases that affect women disproportionately. There are other conditions that are acute to women, like gynecological issues. But other than that, there's also many ways in which women's presentation of the same conditions, like atrial fibrillation or colon cancer, is statistically different and varied. And if you're going in looking at the typical patient, but the typical patient's male, you're not looking at the full scope of the picture. So we're really doing a disservice to the entire medical community, as well as to the end resulting patients. And again, you know, if we're able to support those, half of the health burden for women is in working ages. If we could solve that, there is a significant global impact to what that could mean for the economy. We're leaving money on the table because we're not paying attention.
But even in countries that are third world countries, those that aren't quite advanced, either business-wise, economical-wise, they can do better for their families if they're healthier. Their children will be healthier, no matter what their lifestyle is, no matter where they are in globally. And I think we need to keep all of that in mind. And when you read some of the books or big studies, white papers and things, you have to keep that in mind and not just assume it's in developed countries and that sort of thing. So it's hard to sort of split those up, but we try to have guests and different perspectives on so that we can hear about all these parts and pieces. I've gone to a couple of population health summits, and the stories out there that are told, no matter where they are in the world, and it's no one is immune from a lot of these stories. And the work that's trying to be done, it's like, you know, the proverbial big stone getting rolled up the hill and you keep getting pushed back and things. We need to break through a lot of those barriers.
It's very funny, not the way you think. You would have walked me through that a few months ago. I would have probably been like, come on, it cannot be that bad. As a matter of fact, that's part of one of the discussions I had with my sister, and she pulled out a study from the Digital Access to Scholarship at Harvard. The study, it's a bit clickbaity, but it's called Is the FDA Sexist? Sex and the Drug Approval Process. And it breaks down exactly what you explained. Most of the drugs and medicaments are tested on men, and all the studies are tested on men. And it's often not as efficient, if not inefficient, or even dangerous for women because it's not tested in the right way. So I'm going to put the link to that study in the show notes just to also add a bit of like articles and materials to show that it's backed by science.
No.
This is not just opinion. These are facts.
But which is important, right? Because, I mean, obviously me as a man myself, it's such a controversial topic because you might very easily think, oh, come on, it cannot be that bad and we suffer as well. For sure, that's true. There are lots of issues in our society. When it's backed by science, it's like we need to see the facts and also be able to say, okay, there is something. I will put that study in the show notes. Now, back to podcasting and the business.
I want to actually add a quick fact on the FDA. So and when we talk about, is the FDA part of the systemic problem? The answer to that is yes. Unequivocally, the answer to that is yes. And part of that is due to the fact that in 1977, they passed a memorandum that basically excluded women of childbearing potential from drug trials. And when you think about that, what is if it's a childbearing age, you can't be part of the drug trial anymore. And there was an item that happened where they did a drug trial and it did affect, you know, what that maternal mortality was for those trial participants. But if you go back and look at, I've excluded this population that has a significant need, and I've said no more to you, that's a problem. We have to figure out better ways and better solutions. So continue on.
Thank you for that. And it's part of the podcast story, right? It's really important that to highlight that it's the mission. And that's also why you are that successful, right? In that podcast, in that series, and why people are listening to you. It's because there is a real issue that is raised in this podcast. And also, it's not only about, well, stating facts, which is important, but also try and bring solutions. I love that apron story because it's like, even for the skepticals, it's like, guys, there is money here. You are leaving money on the table. And I love that. I love that angle.
Now, if you didn't know already, I do a lot of research. So I went out and LinkedIn with Guillaume and all that stuff. And this morning, up pops one of his sort of economic little podcasts and things. So that's his bailiwick. So he'll keep coming back to this point, but somebody has to, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, we're all here to preach for our church, right? But that's what we love with podcasts as well. I mean, of course, there is the business incentive. And yes, we think we can generate leads, advocate for brands, build super strong relationship with the audience and guests with the podcast. But it would all be for nothing if there is not a genuine intent to begin with. Telling stories, explaining what's happening. Mentorship is one that I just discovered, but that I love. That's the beauty of podcasts. It's here for something. And honestly, that's what we say to a lot of our clients anyways. If you don't have a passion or a real mission to begin with your podcast, this won't go anywhere because you won't feel involved. The audience will feel you're not involved and the guests won't want to come on the show neither. So it all has to be part of a genuine intent to produce great content, insightful, whether it's educational, inspirational, some entertain and some mentor. I love that.
We actually had a comment on the last podcast from a male listener who said, is this even relevant for men? And that really hit me in the heart of that. That goes back to why are we even here? Why are we talking about this? because there has to be noise. We need to be making those disruptions. We need to be bringing these concerns to the forefront. You know, it's really easy to ignore a problem when it's quiet and in the corner. It's a lot harder. You know, Barbara called me a troublemaker earlier. It's a lot harder when you've got people who are saying, like, this is not my opinion. These are facts. You want to independent fact check me? Here's all my sources. This is real data. And, you know, there's so many statistics out there about maternal mortality, of the fact that women take 80% of all prescriptions, of what we are underserving this demographic. And that so many things present differently that people aren't aware of. And it's incredibly a topic we're talking about.
Well, the thing about the comment that you just made that we got about our last podcast is the point we've been trying to make is no matter who is listening, there's something for you to think about. So no matter whether you're in med tech industry or you're in a different industry or whatever your situation is, no matter what you're coming from, going to, is there something for everybody to stop and think about? Did we really do that? Let me go back and look at what our company did. You know, what were those results? Because the people that actually meet with the healthcare provider to either sell a product or to find out about different products and things like that, they are handed marketing material. They don't go through scientifically and look through every aspect of what their company may have done and things. So my goal on both the podcast that anyone who'll listen is, I keep saying, look inwardly at your own organization, whether it's a provider, supplier, you know, media, whatever it is, and make sure that your house is doing the correct thing, and update and change how you might be doing your business so that you can effectively bring out the true value of what you're trying to bring to people.
One of the things that we talked about on our last episode was the idea that it's not malicious. We don't think anyone's out there being like, well, you know, forget women, like, let them all die. It really is. It's an awareness thing of, I don't think about the fact of, you know, a man will not intrinsically think about the fact that women's feminine hygiene products were not tested with actual blood, only colored water, until within the last year. You don't think about that. Why? That's not something that affects your daily life. It's not something that we even acceptably talk about in public. So even your wife, your mother, your sister is not going to be like, man, let me tell you about this problem I'm having. You know, there's acceptable society standards. And so when we think about where we are today, we're not talking with the idea that there was malice in anyone's heart. But if you are now aware of the problem and you're choosing not to take action, that is a concern. Those are the items that you really do need to look inward on. You know, am I tending my own garden? Am I doing the thing that, if this was, you know, and I hate to put it this way, but if this was a member of my own family, because people have that same selfish intention of, would I feel good about telling my mom, my sister, my daughter, that this was the best that I could do? And if you can't look in the mirror and say that, then we need to start making some changes.
Amen. Ah, that's probably not the right choice of words. I guess you see what I mean.
Before, I was going to say podcasts are like little sermons, but, you know, and you just put the cherry on that sundae. But, you know, we're really not preaching. We're really trying to, like we said, mentor, get ideas out, get people thinking differently.
Love that. Barbara, you're the principal at Barbara Strain Consulting LLC. Colleen, on your side, you're EVP of Operations at the Clinician Exchange. What's the, if any, is there a link between what you both are doing with the show, with the MBA, with what you advocate for, and your different activities? I'm asking because in the medtech industry, it's a small world at the end of the day. I have a family member who works there as well. And it's like, you very quickly end up knowing everybody. You also, and people know you for stuff, right? So the fact that you have a podcast in that industry, some people will recognize you and know you first because of thanks to the podcast. So can you both explain me the link between the mission you have with the podcast and your own businesses and your activities?
So I'll jump in. Age before beauty. The one thing I professed after 40 years working in provider organizations is that, one, I really wasn't ready to retire. My husband also said, your retirement's going to be different than mine. And boy, has it been different. But I said, I have more to give to healthcare to make sure that we sort of dispel all of the sort of ills we find out about it. Pardon the pun, but healthcare, there's so much waste in it. We throw so much valuable money at it, and we're still ranked 30 some or whatever in the world for what we do for our population. So I was going to get in it so that any opportunity I had to talk about value, true value, how can we really get there and look at it? How can we drive out waste? How can we get to well care? I said this already, can't say it enough, versus sick care, and not have to need what we call the big white building. Be in our communities just like it used to be back in the day. My grandmother was 87 when she passed away. Do you think there was a hospital in 1900 when she was 5 years old and something happened? They lived long lives because of certain things, and we need to get there. But when you read anything these days or whatever, it's the age of people and the obituaries and all that sort of thing. We need to do better. So that was my goal, just to be out there having a voice to help people sort of step back and say, we need to do better. And step by step, hopefully we'll get there.
So at the Clinician Exchange, really, our mission is leading healthcare into the age of experience. It's our actual vision statement. And we're really the joining of bringing healthcare medtech innovators with educators through tailored clinical experiences and education. That's the heart of who we are and what we do. And if we're really talking about educating people, that's advocacy. That is bringing awareness to the table. That is, there's so much advisory capacity to that. Because we're not any particular brand. We are all brands. We're all modalities. We really get an opportunity to see so much of the landscape. We get to see the entire forest and the trees, which is a really special position. You know, so much of medical technology, although it is an incredibly small pool, people are siloed into their division, their products. You know, this is vascular and I don't know anyone on the orthopedics team. And we get to see it all. And so when we're talking about, you know, one of the things that I said earlier is if you are in a position to make changes and you are not doing so, it's an actual failure of those around you. We're in a position to make some changes. We're in a position to advocate for others, to talk about how we should change the system of what should these, you know, voice of the customer. If we're going to do a panel of clinicians, we need to be talking to the people who are actually doing these roles. And we really are very serious about the idea of making sure that all voices get heard of, you know, when we're talking about education, that we're really looking for. If you tell me, you know, that you need an Asian and Pacific Islander who's been in practice for 5 years, who is a, you know, cardiologist, and they treat indigent populations, I will find that person for you. You know, no one is unreachable. And being able to advocate for those voices of people sharing their journeys, of educating clinicians, as well as going back to educating medtech on what could and should be, it's a privilege. We're in a really special place here. And I think that the podcast and what we're talking about, we've had people within industry come back to us and be like, man, you guys said some really insightful things. We're not doing that in our surveys, or we're not putting that into our educational pieces. You know, we need to talk about that. And that's, I think, really what brings it all home to me, is the idea that, you know, if it's one person listening, if it's 100 people listening, we are moving a needle. Sometimes it feels like slowly, sometimes in leaps and bounds, but all progress is progress. And that's something to be proud of.
Yep. You said a key thing in what I say all the time. It's the voice of the customer. And the customer has many different flavors. And you need to be able to do that, whether you're selling something or taking care of someone or anything, personal, health-wise, whatever. There's a voice there that you need to listen to. Because if you're not, and they slip through the crack, that's where you've now failed. And we need...
And we're in the position to do a study, and I'm not having any all-male panels unless for some reason we're talking about like prostate exams. Okay. You want to talk prostate? You can talk to all men on that. If you want to talk about anything else though, we're going to be really talking to a robust demographic. It's good science. It's good medicine. And that's something that is really the forefront of everything that we do, is making sure we're meeting people where they are in the representation that makes sense for that group.
Right. We said something at the end of the last podcast. So it wasn't just all about, the McKinsey report and the books and things, but we finally got down to the crux of things is you need to hear and have at your boardroom, your focus groups, whatever you're doing, all of the different voices in your community or in your study, everything, because that's when it's going to be meaningful and be something that you can be proud of, but also make that difference.
I have a tailored question for each of you. Barbara, any direct benefits for your consulting business that you've seen from the podcast? And by that, I mean, for instance, did you ever have somebody reaching out to you saying, hey, I've listened to you, just love what you do, I want to work with you. Have you witnessed such things? If not, that's fine. But any correlation like this that you've witnessed?
Yes, I have. We've been doing these podcasts now for almost, I think it's 3 years, not just the women, but it's been a minute. But I have had people like go to my website and fill out my contact form, or I said, how did you find me? And they'd say, well, I heard a podcast that you were on or a webinar that we had done before, whatever. So I have gotten some business, but it's those connection points have been the most rewarding because they knew they had something, but they weren't quite sure what the next steps were. Or they had something, they knew what the next step, but they weren't really connecting and doing very well. So it was very heartening to me that I could probably at least provide somewhere where they could talk to someone who's been out there in healthcare for a long time and have done a variety of things with research and value analysis and various other points, that I could at least be a sounding board and maybe offer some little bits of advice. And then I follow them on LinkedIn, or I follow them personally, or I touch base with them occasionally and say, by the way, how's it going? And they go, oh my, thanks so much for reaching out. I haven't talked to you in a year. And I don't forget any of the people I've worked with, and people know that I'm available, text, phone, email, whatever it is, and I'll give you the time of day because that's what's important.
Love that. Colleen, what about you? And I think to broaden a bit the question, how does the clinician exchange sees all this? See you leading at the forefront a cause on the podcast, on the MBA, and with Women in MedTech. How is it going?
So I am really fortunate in the fact that Skender is our CEO. He's on the main MBA podcast. So he intrinsically sees the value of thought leadership. And thought leadership is a big part of, who and what we are. Realistically, it goes back to awareness. It goes back to the idea of being a disruptor. It goes back to change. And change doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen without effort. And so, I would say Skender is such a strong advocate for what we're doing. There are times where we have conversations and kind of like what you said earlier of like, oh, I didn't really feel that way. But then I spoke to, my sister, she gave me that back, that he is incredibly wonderful in that he's really open to hearing those different perspectives. As far as, what it means for our organization, we have had clients that have come to us who have said, hey, I heard something that you said on the podcast, whether it's Skender's episodes or my episodes. And, that really resonated with me. That's something that I want to be aware of. We have had opportunities for work or to be part of projects that are based on the exposure that we've gained from this. I would say I have never personally been in this for that exposure or the direct correlation of it. I am actually incredibly shy in real life. So Skender is such a larger than life personality that like we'll go places together and he'll work a crowd and I'll just like stand in the corner. That's my MO. But, when we talk about if you're in a position where you have the ability to make a change and you're choosing not to, you really need to look at your own value system. There was at the beginning the idea of the imposter syndrome of, is it even right that I'm the one having these conversations, that I'm the primary host of this, that out of everyone that I have on the Women in MedTech podcast, I'm the least experienced out of all of us. And I was like, so why me? Why my voice? Why, you know, why, like, I shouldn't be the one doing this. But then I went back to the idea of, if not me, then who? If not now, then when? You know, if I'm going to say that it's not my responsibility with the position that I'm in, and the fact that I can pull some friends together and put this out there, then we're doing a disservice to those around us. And so for me, it's never really been about the specific economic benefit of what we do, you know, but really about being able to advocate for doing what's right. At TCX, we really talk about our core values being a large testament for who we are, what we do. And that is character. It is conviction. We're walking our talk. And the idea of health equity, I am one of those people that has autoimmune conditions. I've got several of them. I am held together some days what feels like by duct tape and meds. And I know what it's like to have access not only to good care, but to people who care about me. I have had my doctor come into a hospital and yell at an attending physician because he was mean to me and said that I had drug-seeking behavior and was like, you don't know what this patient's been through. You haven't been with her for 10 years. And I am very aware of the fact that I am in a position of privilege. There are so many people out there who do not have access to care, who do not have access to care that matters. You know, in the United States, we are considered, you know, all this advanced country and we do all these amazing things. But realistically, maternal mortality, specifically around African-American populations, is 200% more prevalent than for white women. There are problems with the system that we have today. It is not perfect. And even if people have been doing their best, maybe your prior best isn't good enough. And so for me, it's really been the idea of health equity and what should be and what could be, and being that noisy wheel of like, okay, I'll say some stuff, like I'll stand up on the podium, even though it's so outside my comfort zone, to say, you know, change is needed. And, you know, we've been very fortunate that in going through the idea of you do what's right, if you are showing up with character, if you are speaking with conviction and passion, that good things come, and good things have come. But I would say that that's not really our intention. It's really about advocacy, education, and doing what's right.
Wow. Here we go. Hold on, listeners. If you were doubting about the power of podcasts and advocating through it, I think you're served. Maybe to wrap this up, and I think we're pretty lucky in this call because Colleen, you're the producer of the show. So when it comes to, I'd like to touch a bit upon the advice for podcasters. Before that, what has been your biggest challenge in podcasting? And I'm thinking both in terms of guesting, interviewing. I think you just pointed out one very important, right? The imposter syndrome, and standing up and going for it, which is very brilliantly solved and like worked around, because that's a good question. Like, if not me, who? And if not now, when? Love that. Beyond that, what has been your then maybe number two biggest challenge?
Oh, that is such a great question. I would say that I think that I have been very fortunate in having a team of women around me who have been really excited about the podcast experience. So I would definitely say if this was something that you were thinking about, if you've got a message that you know needs to be out there, if you've got a topic that matters, and I mean, I'm not saying that there's not some really great podcasts. I am a, you know, whodunit, crime solving, we're murdering men and shoving them in bathtubs, like, and that's enjoyment. But if we're really trying to move a needle, if you're saying like, I've got a message and it needs to get out there, you need people around you who care about that, who see the value in what you're talking about, who can be a sounding board, who can be, you know, people who pop on. We have been so incredibly fortunate in the fact that we tell other women, hey, we're doing this podcast and we could talk about these kind of things. And they're like clamoring over each other to get on. I don't think we've ever offered somebody the ability to be a guest and they've turned us down, you know, because again, we are speaking to the voiceless, the people who have historically been marginalized. And so to say, I would love to have an opportunity to talk to you, Pat, about what it's been like to be in, you know, the mechanical field of supply chain of actually producing the stuff. And she's like, I am here. I am ready for it. And so giving people the opportunity to do that, I would say that, you know, imposter syndrome is real. The idea of like, who am I to be talking about this? And that's a own battle. And we've all talked about in certain ways to have felt that way. And it's so interesting to me, because every other woman that's on the panel are people I greatly admire, I look up to. I think that they're doing amazing things. And it's really interesting that I've had that myself of like, they're so much, you know, better or more polished, or, you know, they're part of these advocacy groups and I'm just hanging out. And that really, like, you need somebody though who's just willing to step up and start. I do think that there is the element though of, you know, finding your voice, finding what matters to you, and being true to that, being authentic in that space. We have had people give us pushback before about like, oh, you know, like, this doesn't matter. This is not the way we've done things. But being able to say what we're doing is important. There are people out there that this is resonating with. There are people who are receiving and appreciating this message, and knowing that can help guide you on your North Star. You know, it's really easy to lose your way or to hear a piece of feedback of, you know, I would have liked more data and less stories, which I got as feedback from a male listener. And on that exact same episode, I had a female come and say, it's the stories that tell the truth. It's the stories that you're equating this back to life, to your opinions, to looking beyond the data. You know, that's the really interesting thing about numbers, is the fact that it really depends on the perspective of who's reading them for what they mean, and providing some of that additional context. So if you've got something to say and you've got a North Star of, in your heart of hearts, you know that this message is important, allow that to guide you, and that you may get some pushback along the way, but, you know, perseverance is hard. And knowing that listenership does not happen overnight, but you got to keep going. You got to keep putting it out there. And even if you're feeling like, you know, I'm not really doing anything, if you're reaching even one person and changing a mind, a heart, or an opinion, you are making an actual impact.
Yeah. When I was managing large groups of people, and people would say, well, we can't do that. And I go, why not? I said, my mantra was always, people made this situation, people can fix this situation. It's not that it's written on some wall somewhere and we can never take it off the wall. Let's just keep digging in there. So people would say to me at meetings, there you go, being logical again, Barbara. I mean, sometimes it's as easy as, well, what if we did this? And they all kind of stop and go, so you need those different minds. And that's what we're trying to be. Different minds bringing on different minds and then getting to someplace else than where you are, and know that it's possible.
An absolute masterpiece, ladies and gentlemen. We like to finish this episode by asking a recommendation. Could you recommend me and our listeners your top three podcasts that you listen to? And here we're pretty lucky because we have two guests with us today. That means six podcasts. So maybe kicking off with you, Barbara. What podcast do you listen to, ideally business-oriented or in the B2B sphere? It can be in medtech, but what do you listen to when it comes to podcasts?
So when it comes to podcasts, it's usually business-related for the most part, only because there are so many different voices. And if I'm not keeping myself and my other colleagues up to date by getting those facts, because anytime someone says anything on like MedTech Gurus, or that, you know, met Tom Hickey on, or there's these short little things by Dr. Eric Bricker that I just cling to, because he takes such complicated healthcare things and boils it down on just a whiteboard and a black pen. And it's like amazing. So I like to learn what is the best way to sort of get after certain issues and things. So most of it is business. I do listen to a few other folks, but I get bored with it because it's not really sort of that fact-based in things. It's too wishy-washy and not really important. You know, it's like Jerry Seinfeld and his comedians and cars drinking coffee. It's fun and things like that, but I'm not getting anything out of it, occasionally a ha ha ha. So I'm very business oriented, and I don't necessarily remember every single one of them. I sort of plug in and out of them. And if they lose me the first 5 minutes, I sort of take it off my list.
And I'm going to do a slight difference of what my podcast topics are. You know, when we talk about equity, I'm going to recommend some of my favorite equity-based podcasts. Women at Work is absolutely fantastic. It talks about what discrimination looks like throughout your career. It is not about deferring ambitions, but really about preparing to deal with it. How to face a world where it's not designed for women. There is one that is also called Unladylike, which talks about basically being noisy and a disruptor and how to do that in a way that's acceptable for others. And then the final one that I really love is called, and this, I'm going to say a bad word because this is the name of the title, so I'm not just saying it. It's called Unfuck Your Brain. And it really talks about how, you know, women, girls are taught from a young age to sit there and be quiet, be seen and not heard. And there are so many lessons that you have to unlearn about what worth looks like, about what acceptance looks like, about, you know, the fact that I'm not Aussie, I'm assertive. We think about women in a way that does not always set us up for success. And it really talks about reframing some of those things that you may have heard or may have thought about yourself and what is possible in a way to really say, you know, how hard could it be? Men do it.
But it's that acceptability factor, you know?
Yeah. And so it talks about like burnout and anxiety and, you know, imposter syndrome and really reframing those expectations of yourself and what it means to be present today. So those are some of the ones that on this specific topic. There's some other really great business ones. Again, I'm in for, you know, the whodunit murder mystery and how they got away with it. But those are three that I do some mentoring and coaching. Those are three that I normally recommend right off the bat for anyone who's like unsure of their own footing. They're just really great perspectives from other thought leaders, and they're fun to listen to.
So this is something I learned about Colleen just now. So I wrote down all those three. And when I'm writing a blog today, I'm going to be plugged in listening to any of these or all of these. And so we all learn from each other all the time.
Here we go. The power of podcasting. Colleen, Barbara, thank you so much for coming on the B2B Podcast Stories.
Well, thank you for having us on. This has been great.
Agree. It's been such a pleasure today. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the B2B Podcast Stories. We hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, please don't forget to hit subscribe and check us out at ghamarketing.com. Have a great day.